go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Weekend in store. Are you kidding me? It all comes together tonight and tomorrow, including the NHL and the NBA. How about Harbor Town? What a leaderboard there. Of course, college baseball cranking up. We'll put an end to a lot of spring seasons, and that includes the good boys down in God's country. We'll have a full report with that coming up in about 30 minutes. My buddy Niall Lawrence Stample will join us in studio. I'd say right now I'm officially back. I think it took me 48 hours to get back after partying like a rock star with the Pink Floyd show on Tuesday night. And I've come to this conclusion. I'm no longer going to do that on weeknights because I am a individual who the best word to describe me would be binge. I'm a binge eater. I'm a binge drinker. I'm binge and a few other things that I won't mention here on terrestrial radio. I can go weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. All right, maybe days. Without diving into those type of festivities. But once I get it, man, it just increases and increases. And the time goes by and I get deep into the night and early into the morning. And I don't know when to say when. Okay, I don't drive. That's for dadgum sure, but that's it. I'm done as far as weeknights, partying like that. Weekends is a different story. I can get over it by then, but my goodness, man, that show at the Florida Theater with Britt Floyd on Tuesday night, man, I was still feeling, I was getting like the shakes Thursday afternoon. I'm like, you know, it's not like I'm a hardcore drug taker. It was just massive, massive amounts of Miller Lite and some Irish whiskey. And that's it. So if I was a little bit slow on Wednesday, I apologize. It's a complete lack of professionalism, and I owe you for that one. I checked with some folks. They didn't notice much as far as a difference, but to me, it sounded off. So that's my pledge to you. And let me tell you right now, I also want to say that we are going to tax the rich, we're going to feed the poor, and we're going to work real hard, and we're going to make things so much better for you beginning on Monday right here on your home of the Jags, 1010 on the AM, 92.5 on the FM. All right, where are we with Trevor Lawrence? What the hell's going on? It's like we got to reach a decision, right? Instead of just inhale, exhale, right? You know, let it come, let it go. He seems happy. He seems kind of go lucky. You know, he's such a mature. I'm going to go with mature today. I actually think it should be mature. It should always be mature, just like it should always be amateur, not amateur, not mature. But I will go with that today just because why not? But he's bringing up his wife, right? Hey, my wife and I love it here. You know, he's 24 years of age. He's speaking like a 40-year-old, right? It's comforting. It's nice to know. But it seems like all of a sudden we're up against it. And I think a lot of people want clarification here. What's it going to be? Because just waiting it out and picking up the fifth-year option by May 2nd and letting him play this year at a paltry 11.7 mil, and then next year, $26.5 million for a fifth-year option apparently is no longer good enough. We're in a period where, we must make that decision now. It's pretty interesting. The vibe yesterday over at the Miller Electric Center was this deal's going to get done. Some believe it could be done, heck, by the month of April. I think most believe it's going to get done before when the regular season actually does get underway. I'm going to stay with what I have always said. No. No. Try to win now with him under a rookie contract. There's no reason to force this at this particular time. He has been underwhelming, okay? He is underachieved. He has not been as good as I thought. He has not been as good as you thought. He hasn't. Now, there's a variety of reasons for that. Endless reasons for that. Some on him, some clearly not on him. He was lost as a rookie under Urban Meyer. That's gone. I mean, how much longer are we going to go back to that? And I will say that I think for the most part, the local media and the fans here in town, they're done with that. I read the Bill Barnwell piece, which I'll get to here momentarily, and I thought it was kind of clever. He did a mock draft that was trade only, and he called the Trevor one to Chicago right out in his first sentence. He called it absurd, and I would agree with that because you're not giving up Trevor Lawrence and picks to get Caleb Williams. You're just not. You're not doing it. And, you know, I'd be surprised again. I don't like using the word anyone or everyone or no one or everybody, nobody or whatever. Okay, I just don't like using words like that. But how many of you out there would literally give up Trevor Lawrence and picks for Caleb Williams? Caleb Williams is going to be the top pick. We know that, but a lot of questions about him. There weren't questions about Trevor. He was the generational talent. He was the can't-miss kid. He was the best prospect since Andrew Luck. Well, last year kind of was reminiscent of Andrew Luck. Remember he walked off the field, final preseason game, announced his retirement? And one of the many reasons why he quit way before his time, his body was beaten. That was the biggest problem for Trevor Lawrence last year, and that is not his fault. The offensive line was bad. They happened to think that they have been able to fix this offensive line by getting Morse and having a healthy Cleveland, and hopefully Cam Robinson keeps his whatever together, and, you know, Sheriff stays healthy, and Anton Harrison. There's a guy who was hurt last year in training camp with the shoulder injury. Had a very good rookie season, considering he had to fight through that. More than an ailment, I got to believe it was pretty significant at times. But why the something must happen now? I'm trying to figure it out. And, you know, I understand the logic of, well, if he really is going to be this good, it's cheaper down the road. Who knows how to figure out this salary cap, okay? Every time I look, the Jaguars sign more players. They have more money under the salary cap, according to overthecap.com, according to spottrack.com. Okay, it almost feels like it's fake. It almost feels like you can put it together with signing bonuses, backload it, and then get out of those backloaded contracts eventually, someday, if you restructure contracts. And I know dead money is going to occur, and Jacksonville had to deal with that recently. It's really not that bad this year, not nearly as bad as I thought it could have been. But if that's your reasoning to this, it's not your money. It's not my money. It's Shad Khan's money. The realism is let him play the year. Let us find out. Is this guy really a franchise quarterback? Is he really the guy that's going to take this football team to the next level? I happen to believe that he is and will. But still, you're not forced to pay this guy $35, $40 million, whatever it's going to be a year, based on what he's done so far in his career. Use those resources to do some other things. Make a trade. Go out and get Patrick Surtain, who could be available from Denver. Go out and get a wide receiver. Go out and get T. Higgins. Make a move. Go out and do something to try to win this year where you still have Trevor Lawrence under the rookie salary structured system. That's my way about it. But it feels like we're really in a position now where you want a decision to be made. And I do at least like to, and listen, I've noticed this change since the end of the year till what is today, April 19th. This is why I love fans, okay? I love fans because you fans will change on a dime. And that's the way you're supposed to be as a fan. You're supposed to fire your offensive coordinator in the first half and then salute him with an ice-cold beer after the game. you yell and yell and yell, go for it, it's fourth and two, go for it, go for it, go for it. They go for it, they don't get it, and you say, what the hell were they going for it for? They should have punted. I mean, that's why I love fans. Fans change on a dime. And never, never change. You should be afforded that opportunity. This is entertainment for you. For a lot of you, it's your step away from your normal problems, your personal, your professional problems. This is your opportunity to just kind of escape. So you're a fan. You're never wrong. The guys making the big money are the ones who are, in fact, wrong. But I've noticed since the end of the season where I got Trevor's a bust, Trevor's not generational, Trevor's never going to take that next step, these same people after 3+ months are all of a sudden like, yeah, you know, I guess it kind of does make sense, doesn't it? Let's get this deal done now. It'll be cheaper down the road. Pay him. He's happy here. Don't let him look over his shoulder. Don't let him, you know, have him be asked about it. And I think the local media will get away from it sooner or later. But, you know, when the national scribes come in and they start asking questions. So I guess just staying where they are with him apparently isn't good enough. And Trent Baalke and Trevor Lawrence both spoke last week, Baalke yesterday, and they both alluded to it. They're talking about it. And again, I think the thinking is it could happen sooner than later. I'm going to stay in the same camp. Let him play this year and hope that the offensive line is better. Hope that the rushing attack is better. Hope that their skill position guys at wide receiver can stay healthy, right? Christian Kirk hurt last year. Zay Jones hurt last year. We still agree that they're going to address something there at wide receiver, if not Thursday night with the 17th pick, maybe as early as Friday with the 48th pick, right? We all believe another wide receiver is coming. That's where I am. And, you know, also, how about consistency, something that Doug Peterson has talked about forever when it comes to his staff? You go to his final year in college, his first year here, his second year here when Doug Peterson was calling plays, and then we found out right before the start of the 2023 season that Press Taylor, for one half, was actually calling the plays, not Doug Peterson. This year it was all Press Taylor. Their scoring went down, what, 23.8 a game to 22.3 a game. Doug Peterson talked about it last September, about increasing the points outtake per game by 5 points. He was talking about 28.8 points a game, man, 29 points a game. Think about that offense, how electrifying, you know, it could have been if it worked that way. It didn't, for the multiple of reasons that you're aware of and I just kind of went through a moment ago. And now, even though you got the endorsement from Trevor on press, there's whispers that maybe he's not the guy. Maybe he doesn't want that guy. Again, I don't know that. As I said yesterday, I've never had anyone that I really significantly trust who's told me, oh, yeah, that's true. So I don't know if it is or I don't know if it isn't. But you're aware of it because the text line, I mean, that doesn't lie, right? 641-1010 brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. I mean, you can be hanging out on Lane Avenue or you can be out the beach right now. Or you could be finding a place that's open past 9:30 at night out in the Bartram area. Maybe if you want to call. I live in such a damn bedroom community. Man, everything shuts down at like 9:30 where I live. But, you know, I'm hearing it from everyone. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But a little bit more consistency would be good as well. Bill Barnwell at ESPN. And I think what this does is it creates a little bit more for you about, are you kidding me? Get it done. Well, Barnwell, again, said it was absurd, but the Jaguars giving up Trevor Lawrence, the 48th overall pick, which, of course, is their second-round selection, and pick number 153, which is in the fifth round. The Jaguars do have 5 picks in their first 100. They have 5 selections out of the first 116 picks. 5 out of 116. That's pretty good. You should be able to get some good football players out of there. You should be able to get more than just role players there. I'm thinking at least at 17 and 48, you're getting two major contributors, if not starters. If it's a wide receiver, he's someone involved in the rotation. If you go pass rush defensive end, he's someone who's involved in the rotation. If he's a corner, probably a starter, right? Unless Ronald Darby has something to say about that, I would think he's a day one starter. But anyway, the 48th pick, the 153rd pick, and Trevor Lawrence straight up to Chicago for Caleb Williams? No way. No way. Okay? And, you know, that comes out. And then also today, I was a little bit blown away by this, that C.J. Stroud has now become the favorite for the 2025 National Football League MVP over Patrick Mahomes at 6-1. Okay, Mahomes 7-1, Stroud 6-1. I think there's a overwhelming feeling league-wide, Stroud's a better quarterback than Lawrence. I'm not ready to sign off on that yet. JJ and I, a couple of weeks ago, went through every quarterback in the league. Based on 1 year, it is spectacular. It is so impressive to see what Stroud did. But if I was to turn that around and say, would you give up Lawrence straight up for C.J. Stroud, I do believe that most around the NFL would say, hell yeah, absolutely I would. I think Stroud's going to be a better quarterback. I think here the numbers would drop, obviously, for several different reasons, including the fact that you're not a fan of Stroud and you are a fan of Trevor Lawrence. But I found that very intriguing. For what it's worth, 25-1 is Trevor. He's in the middle of the pack here with, they put him there with Anthony Richardson. You know, the guy who didn't know enough to get rid of the ball, ran out of bounds. Thank you to Josh Allen should send him something with that, whatever the contract extension was. The guaranteed money. I mean, those sacks came real easy early on when Anthony Richardson just ran out of bounds. You talk about at that particular time. We talk about Trevor being stupid and making stupid plays. How stupid was that by Anthony Richardson? 25-1. Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, and Tua, all at 25-1. So, anyway, that's where he is. But I got a little sidetracked there. I did want to mention that. I thought it was interesting. To me, it should be Patrick Mahomes. And I would even go as far as to say I would probably put Joe Burrow in at number two, not C.J. Stroud. But on this particular situation, again, it feels like Trevor's being mentioned now by so many people throughout the course of the league, regardless of what your opinion is, whether it's for or against, it almost feels like there is some pressure in this city now to get this deal done with Trevor Lawrence. Will it take place? We will find out. I would have to believe now that this is going to happen before the start of the year. And there's no way. There's absolutely no way that I saw that, even going back 3-4 weeks ago. But apparently that has changed. For what it's worth, I'm going to stick with my opinion. I do think that things should remain the same, and why pay him at this particular time? All right, if you want to get on that, as always, the best way to do so is on our text line. That is 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. This is it for the spring for a lot of blue bloods, right? Way out west, USC, two new schools entering the Southeastern Conference in Oregon. In Oklahoma and Texas, Notre Dame with Riley Leonard now under center. They will have their spring game. And, of course, right down the road here in Tallahassee, they're going to do it as well. The bad news for me is that two of their four quarterbacks are out, right? Brock Glenn's not going to play. Luke Kramenhock is not going to play. You're going to go with Trevor Jackson, who is a preferred walk-on. But he is going to be the backup to DJ Uiagalelei, and it should be a pretty spirited afternoon or whenever. I guess the game is at 4 coming up tomorrow, and the Atlantic Coast Conference Network will actually have it for you. But I would like to have seen these young quarterbacks get an opportunity to play. Minor injuries, so Mike Norvell was just kind of like Forget about it. They're not 100%. Let's shut them down for the remainder of the year. But I do want to get things started with that, with our friend Niall Lawrence Stample, to really dive into the way things have been this spring. One thing that you can really make the case for Florida State, with all of the losses, and think about it, three members of the offensive line, quarterback, a couple of tailbacks, right, because Rodney Hill transferred, obviously Benson may be the first back selected, a dynamic tight end, two NFL wide receivers, right, three guys off your defensive line, you're starting two linebackers who played almost every snap, as well, three corners. If you look at Greedy Vance, who was absolutely involved in the two deep, and he now has exercised his right to enter the transfer portal. He made that announcement about, oh, I don't know, maybe 7 to 10 days ago. So, you know, Greedy Vance is gone, along with Jones and Renardo Green, and a safety, Akeem Dent. You've lost all those players, but it feels like the one major difference, at least early on, between this year's Florida State team and last year's Florida State team, speed. This is a faster team. It's a faster team with guys who are unproven, right? Malik Benson, transfer from Alabama, only a couple hundred yards worth of receiving in his career. Jalen Lucas, a guy who came over from Indiana, has been absolutely outstanding as a kick return player in his career. But they're talking now about doing all sorts of crazy things with him, just basically getting him the football. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to be a Rocket Ismail. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's going to be a Percy Harvin. But it feels like, hey, you know what? He's a smaller guy. He's 5'7.5", 5'8". He's the fastest guy on the football team. He has had highlight reel plays practice after practice after practice. Find a way to get him the football, right? So that's one thing that is comforting, and I would think for the first time in a very, very long time, Florida State is not in a rebuild. They have reloaded. Are they good enough to win? We'll see. But this roster, 1 through 85, which really needs to cut down from where they are right now at 89 to probably 82 this year or 83, because the NCAA, as we know, hooked them up to the loss of five scholarships this year and next year combined. It's a better football team. And more attrition will come. You know, you have until, what, the 30th to wrap up the transfer portal, whether it's players going or perhaps some players coming in. That is one thing that has been evident this year over there. Faster team speed at Florida State. And when you may send 10, 11 guys to the NFL draft, that's really saying something. That is pretty impressive. All right, also this in today, as we have discussed before, these college football rule changes are going into effect. How about a two-minute warning in college football? Do you like it, JJ?
No, I don't.
I don't either. Don't they always talk about speeding up the game? Why are they dropping a two-minute warning on us?
I have no idea.
Neither do I. I do like the one-on-one communication in the helmet, you know, the green dot that the NFL has employed forever. That makes sense to have a little bit more consistency. You would think that that would be better for road teams in nasty environments, right? When the crowd is brutal, your offensive coordinator now will be able to have direct communication with the quarterback with the microphone that is set up inside his helmet, exactly like the NFL. But, yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. There's certain things in college football we have always known and understood, right? One of them is if your knee hits the ground, play's over. Always hated that rule. The running out of bounds rule, the getting the first down rule, right? And now the two-minute warning. We'd have to have a total refresher before the start this year of both the NFL and college football. All of the rule changes that are now in effect, it's not your dad's game, not your mom's game. Things continuously change right in front of our eyes. All right, opening comments brought to you by Schmunez Vision. Make sure you check them out as well on Instagram, the good folks over at Schmunez Vision. You'll see all sorts of testimonials there from folks in town who have gone to the very best when it comes to their eyes, and they've walked away feeling just spectacular about it. They're a family organization. They focus on personal, high-quality medical and surgical eye care. That includes surgery on my right eye 8.5 years ago. How about Dr. Catherine Schmunez, fellowship trained in cornea, cataract surgery, all refractive surgery. Regardless of what it may be when it comes to your eyes, you need the very best right here in Duval. Make sure you check him out online. Go to Schmunez Vision. That is Schmunez Vision Care. You can see. You can also set up an appointment at any time. Just call him at 299-2906. So we got a lot to do right here on this Friday night edition. As always, the best way to join us is on our text line, which is already up and running. That is 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. You can as well get me on Twitter, Baloo1010XL. So let's kick it off with a little bit of Florida State talk. Certainly we have much more to get into as well with the Jags, but I want to bring in the former national champion and member of the Cleveland Browns and that defensive line, Nile Lawrence Stample. He will join Rick Baloo on the other side.
Into the Night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, with you tonight till 8 o'clock. A lot on the Jaguars coming up here in just a little bit. And to tell you what, we're getting a ton in on the text line on this, 641-1010. If you would like to give us your thoughts on the Jags and I keep getting stuff like this. Hey, Baloo, it's going to cost more if you wait later when it comes to signing Trevor Lawrence. I know. I totally get it. I understand it. But I don't want to ruin you Friday. What if he's not the guy? Isn't that fair based on what we just saw? I mean, the guy's got 70 turnovers in his first 3 years. And there's only so long that you can make excuses for him, like Urban Meyer, right? Sooner or later, he's got to take that next step. And I think the thing that aggravates most of us is that he, at times, makes stupid plays. And when you're a franchise quarterback, you cannot make stupid plays. Let's bring in our buddy right now, Nile Lawrence Stample, who, of course, played on Florida State's national championship team with Jameis Winston, went on to play for the Cleveland Browns. If there was a knock on Jameis in college and certainly in pro, coaches, I can only imagine what Jimbo Fisher must have done time and again, yelling at him, don't throw in the double coverage, don't make that mistake. Jameis always, as great as Jameis was, he made those mistakes.
Yeah, he was, but I feel like he was so confident. And that's another reason why I feel like Jimbo loved him, was because of his confidence. And sometimes he would take those risks. And in college, it seems like obviously it really paid off more than not. So Jimbo would kind of let him go a little bit. But for the most part, he was kind of that guy. He would take the risk. And luckily, they panned out for us, for sure.
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
You look good. Every time I see you, you're dropping more weight.
I'm trying to stay in the gym. I'm trying to stay fit.
Like, how about just walking outside, man? It was like 91 today. It's supposed to be brutal this weekend.
Yeah, it's getting hotter.
Business good?
Yeah, business is great, man. We're ramping up.
Nile Lawrence Stample cleaning. He'll tell us about that coming up in just a little bit. All right, we always talk Florida State, but the Trevor deal, you know, you can take advantage of this rookie contract, right, and play him this year for 11.7, pick up a fifth-year option, but all of a sudden there feels like there's a little bit of pressure. Get it done now. Get him paid. Keep him happy. And I have no problem with that, Nile, if I knew that he was going to be the face of this franchise and be a franchise QB. I don't know that after watching this past season.
Yeah, this past season was interesting, but I think – Jacksonville as a whole is really bought in to Trevor. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where we have to make sure we're understanding is that the Jacksonville Jaguars are a company. They're a real business here in Jacksonville. And if everyone is buying into that quarterback and still buying into that hope, it's tough for the ticket sales and all the other things that kind of go along with that. And people want to continue to have that hope and dream. And hopefully that will push things into fruition.
Yeah, and it's not all on him. I mean, Jameis, the talent he had, you also had, well, you had Dalvin Cook waiting in the wings, Devontae Freeman. I mean, you had guys.
Weapons.
You had Carlos Williams. You had James Wilder Jr. You had guys who could run the football. Florida State was a very balanced attack. That was problematic around here last year. The Jaguars couldn't run the ball, and obviously that offensive line was injured. The wide receivers were injured. So there's a lot of blame to go around, but I'm one of those who's just like, let's just be patient here for one more year, see what he can do. You're going to have to make a decision soon. I just wouldn't make it right now before, you know, things get underway.
Yeah, I think this season will be super important for what he brings to the table and how he's able to kind of bounce back. Obviously, he had a few injuries towards the end of the season, but I think going into this season will be a true testament of saying, listen, you're not a rookie anymore. Like, you, some of these growing pains should be done, especially look at someone like C.J. Stroud, who is really excelling very early on, and you're starting to put more pressure on yourself. So this season will be a huge one for him.
All right, spring game coming up this weekend in Tallahassee. I'm trying to remember during your tenure of spring games. First of all, did you like the spring game?
Love it.
Did you really?
Yeah,
watch?
I loved it.
Why?
I loved it because I had an opportunity to prove myself. And as especially your first spring game, this is like your first kind of real game that you're playing in, to where fans are there and mm-hmm. people are interacting, and you get to show your coach on a bigger scale that you can perform. And I had a phenomenal spring game my freshman year, right. My redshirt freshman year, and it really showed that I could be a force to be reckoned with. And I built on that, and I use as momentum to go into that regular season. So I love the spring game, and I can't wait to see kind of what these some of these players will do.
Yeah, it's going to be on TV tomorrow at 4 o'clock on the Atlantic Coast Conference Network, which I want to say on my DirecTV, maybe channel 612. But I'm going to be playing some golf. I'll lay some tape and come back and watch it Saturday and or Sunday. You know, all the returns, as you know, Niall, it's been a very good spring. And since the last time that we talked, there was yet another scrimmage at Florida State. My understanding that for DJ Uiagalelei, it was his best work yet, his best overall day during that scrimmage. So that is obviously encouraging.
Very encouraging. And I think the growth that we're seeing means that things are clicking with him and Norvell. And if things are clicking with him and Norvell, as well as obviously the offensive coordinator, we're going to be able to continue to build going along down the line. And that goes from them to obviously the offensive line and then to our offensive weapons that we're utilizing. So as everyone continues to build, we're going to get that that cohesive unit that we're looking for going into the offseason, which is going to be the summer, in order for them to build that that camaraderie.
Now, when you were there, they were very – I mean, I'm trying to remember. Did you come in with Jameis, or were you there when –
He came
EJ,
a year after me.
All right, so you were there with Ponder.
EJ. Yeah.
EJ and Ponder.
No, I came in the year EJ started.
Okay, because like Ponder got hurt in the – he couldn't throw against South Carolina in the game in Atlanta. That's when EJ came off the bench and beat South Carolina. All right, so you were there.
Yes.
Something that all colleges do, blue bloods do, is the quarterback rallies the guys. And I don't know if linemen are as involved as much, but certainly it's the wide receivers, the tight ends, and the backs. And they go and they throw. With today's changing guard of college football, how concerned are you about DJ Uiagalelei saying to these guys, hey, get up first thing, 6 o'clock Monday morning, we're going out, we're throwing, whatever? You would think it would take a veteran, a guy who's been there for a few years. Is that a concern, considering what's going on with the transfer portal now? How, you know, just it's no longer awkward. It's kind of part of today's college football.
Yeah, I think with everyone understanding that, I think it's going to be a little less weird, just because people are understanding that there's no real tenure. Mm-hmm. And DJ said something that was super important, and he basically said, I'm going to put my head down and earn it. I'm not going to really be a loud rah-rah guy. I'm going to put my head down and go to work, and that's how I'm going to earn my leadership. And when I saw that he said that is where you understand that he is putting the actual work in to earn his spot and not come in as some bossy player. And that's going to make people really respond to him a lot better. And I don't think we're going to have a big issue, especially as we're moving into the portal lifestyle. You're going to have players that really understand that they need to be more of a professional than be a prima donna. Because if they're not responding to that leadership, they're going to end up being in the portal next year if they're not responding on the field.
Florida State's Niall Lawrence-Stample joining us. Tomorrow is the spring game over in God's country. Of course, Niall played for the National Championship Seminoles 10 years ago and played as well on the defensive line for the Cleveland Browns. He's a business owner here in town and a big friend of the program. All right, more team speed, man. I mean, Malik Benson is blowing people away. I'm real excited to see what Jalen Lucas can do. He's the brother of Ja'Kai Douglas, who's been a part of the program now for 5 years at Florida State. The younger brother, Jalen Lucas, wasn't as highly recruited. He went to Indiana, a great kick returner, but it feels like every single day in practice, he is putting together a highlight reel type of play.
Yeah, and hopefully he continues, because as he continues that, we're going to be able to play certain opportunities that maybe we weren't able to last year. And we were able to do some things, especially with certain guys that were able to get us open, or especially in the kick return game. But when it comes to a certain type of speed, you are able to put certain packages in that I think that he potentially can respond to.
I just saw this, speaking of speed, Shade Tree's son, Marvin Jones Jr. This is according to Brennan Sinone, who's a regular guest on the program as well with Knowles 24/7. Marvin Jones Jr. hit 20.6 miles per hour yesterday during practice.
Speed off that edge. Holy smokes. Yeah, that's what you want to see coming off that edge. And that's going to create a lot of havoc in that backfield, especially when you have offensive tackles that can't keep up with that. So Patrick Payton being on the side, Marvin Jr. being on the other side, that is going to be a real opportunity to watch.
Yeah, and I have
him loving it.
I have him unofficially at 254 pounds. That's unofficial for Marvin Jones Jr. But a man of that size moving at that speed is very encouraging. And you and I have already had these conversations, and Georgia fans love to jump in on it. He didn't do much of anything for 2 years at Georgia. Yeah. Well, they were loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, with that defensive line. I mean, they keep pumping guys into the NFL. But he's still got his future right in front of him. I mean, again, the best-case scenario for Marvin Jones Jr. is to come here at Florida State this year and play 14, 15 games and go to the NFL.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just one of those things. And you have two things happening here with Marvin Jones Jr. You have him coming in and him seeing the opportunity in front of himself, as well as the pressure. So he has to really perform, and that's what happens with a lot of these portal guys, that they come in as these highly touted players that are going to be key players, and if they don't really perform or come into fruition, it's a tough transition out. So I think you have the pressure of everyone expecting him to do well as obviously his name, which holds a lot of weight as well, but he has something to prove, and I think that will help kind of iron sharpened iron situation coming here at Florida State, that I think he's going to be a phenomenal player this year.
He grew up right in front of our eyes, but when Jordan Travis was first put into the lineup, he basically was like Wildcat, right? He just took the ball and ran.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, because I tell the story often, but the first year that I met him in Charlotte for the Atlantic Coast Conference football meetings, he's there with Mackenzie Milton. And I'm like, why did they bring two quarterbacks? They brought two quarterbacks because they don't know who their starting quarterback is going to be. But I asked him about passing, and he's like, man, I've always been a passing quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, Noah Brindis. Was it Noah Brindis who was his I think it might have been Eric Kresser. It was either Noah or Kresser. He's like, my high school coach, you know, I threw for him. I threw at Louisville. But we saw him as a Wildcat guy, and then he really evolved as a quarterback. Since that's been there, at least in our recent memory, when I look at a guy like Jalen Lucas and how he can basically hide behind the line of scrimmage, they don't know where he's going to play offensively. What about putting him in a Wildcat every once in a while?
I think that's definitely going to be the case, especially we saw it more and more. Obviously, it bailed us out at some of these games towards the back end of the year, ACC Championship. So it's going to be something that they're not going to have a choice but to do, just because of the success that we had this past season doing it. And obviously Norvell likes it, so we'll see how he gets implemented, but that will be a phenomenal opportunity for our offense to be a little bit more dynamic when it comes to third downs, as well as being in the red zone.
Final couple of minutes with Niall Lawrence-Stample joining us right here with Rick Ballew on Into the Night. All right. Dane Brugger did a 7-round draft. Jared Edge, first round. Keon Coleman, second round. Braden Fisk, second round. Troy Benson, second round. It goes on and on. Renardo Green, Johnny Wilson, Fabian Lovett, Jaheim Jones, Jaheim Jones, Jordan Travis. Is there a guy that, you know, you and I have talked all about Jared Verse and all about Braden Fisk because they played the defensive line like you did, Fabian Lovett. Is there a guy that's going to be selected maybe as early as next Thursday, if not Friday or Saturday, that you're really intrigued about seeing at the next level?
Oh, man, I would have to say for the most part, it's going to be probably Johnny Wilson.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be the guy, especially with people not thinking he's going to go as high or potentially produce as much in the NFL. I think he is going to be a very versatile player. I think he's going to be able to do a lot of things, and he was able to do them at Florida State. It sucks, obviously, there was some injury stuff there, and he needs a little bit more polishing, but I think the upside is going to be a lot more on Johnny Wilson just because of the doubters. Obviously, we have some going on with Keon Coleman, even though I think he's going to do well. But I think Johnny Wilson's going to be extremely exciting because he's kind of giving you that Kelvin Benjamin feel. But his work ethic, his tenacity, his ability to be able to grab the ball and secure the ball at that size is phenomenal to watch, and I can't wait to see it in the second level.
Boy, Benjamin will always be a hero because he made the big reception against Auburn to win that national championship that you played on. But he ate himself out of the league, man. I don't think that's going to be the case for Johnny Wilson, but when I bring on these NFL analysts, more than half of them say the same thing. Is he better suited to be a tight end in the NFL when it's all said and done for Johnny Wilson? What do you think about that?
I think that is a great point because when someone says that he could potentially be a tight end, that gives him options, right? That gives him options. He obviously has the speed in order to be able to get upfield and get open, but he does have the size to play tight end. So if you can give him that option, that versatility, an offense is going to find a way to get him on the field. So I think that's great for his stock, and I think that that's something that teams will have to figure out how to do as long as the player, it's the jockey, right? The jockey that is willing to put the work in to figure it out. You can't just blanket everyone. It's the person that's willing to do the work and figure it out that's going to be the most productive, and I think Johnny is that guy.
All right, more changes in college football. I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm not talking about the way of life and how it became your full-time job and stuff like that, but when it came to being on the field, was there one dramatic difference that you still remember from playing on Saturdays compared to playing on Sundays?
So when it comes to the speed level, at least, especially for me, as the injuries really plagued me, so at least some of the work that I was able to do in the next level, the speed is very close to the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not much different. But it's hard to say that because obviously you come from a school that is very high caliber. So we, especially at the caliber that I came out as. So you're playing super fast, super dynamic. You're running very complex defenses. So once when we transitioned over to Cleveland, it was very easy. It was not very difficult to get that speed and to get that. It was honestly a little bit slower just because things aren't as fast paced in terms of tackle or in terms of things. There's a lot of regulation there. So I think the transition should be fairly easy for majority of the players playing at a high caliber.
The 2-minute warning is coming to college football. 2 minutes to go before half, 2 minutes remaining in the game, like or dislike.
I love it. So with college football now implementing the 2-minute warning coming into this potential season, I want to say to every defensive player, let's take a breath, right? Let's take a breath because if I can have a memory other than great ones, it is being on the field at the end of the half, momentum has shifted, and it is 3 minutes and 20 seconds left on the clock. We have no timeouts left, and we're expected to stop this surge. So, and you have these offenses, obviously, we're watching them and we're doing it in practice, but the 2-minute drill is huge. So if they're running the ball or they're throwing the ball, they are trying to run it as fast as they can in order to stop defenses from being able to switch out, from being able to change packages, to being able to get defensive players off the field. So if that's the case, a 2-minute warning, holy smokes. I love it.
Right.
I love it. Huge for the defensive, any defense going on in college
football.
That's
interesting because JJ and I on the surface kind of like, nah, leave it alone. It's good, but we obviously didn't play the game, and you brought up the defensive side, so that's intriguing. The other one makes total sense. It's just like the NFL. They've adopted the green dot now.
Mm-hmm.
The coach and or coordinator will be able to communicate with a player, obviously a quarterback, and you are able to do that until there's 15 seconds left on the play clock, very similar to the NFL. So I would imagine you have no issues with that one.
No issues whatsoever. There's so many times that you're like, okay, I didn't get to play with Nigel Bradham as much as I would have loved to, but what a dog. Nigel Bradham was an absolute dog. Telvin Smith, a dog. If they could have had a headset for them not to have to look at the sideline and everyone's looking at the sideline and they'd be able to get to that next play and get everybody in shape and let everybody know what that play is, you're talking about a much more efficient defense is in its entirety, especially being able to have somewhat of a communication of what's going on the field. So I think it is phenomenal. I think it's a little bit overdue, if you ask me, and I cannot wait to see how it plays out, especially it looks like they're not going to make it mandatory for all teams to do that. So it's going to be interesting to be able to get a real sort of understanding of if it's helping teams or not helping teams, or will teams switch over to it next year or not. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it looks like.
Were you on the team when Florida State's defense was all looking to the sideline and James Davis of Clemson ran like 70 yards? I think it was 2008, maybe.
No.
Yeah. 2007, 2008. Don't remember the year, but I remember the poster that came out after. That's when they had C.J. Spiller and James. They had two.
Clemson had
two awesome bucks.
I remember them, too, yeah.
But it was just a mistake made by, Florida State was trying to get signals in, trying to get players on and off the field, and Davis just had a little giddy-up in his get-along and had a long-scoring touchdown that day for Clemson. All right, Niall Lawrence Stample, cleaning a business owner right here in Jacksonville as well. What's going on? You've been back over to Tallahassee at all lately?
No, I have not. I hope to get there sometime very soon. But we're doing a ton. Follow us at NLS Cleaning on our Instagram page. We're going to be doing some work that we did over there super soon. I'm really excited about it. But we're working with a ton of local businesses. That's what really been huge for us. Some other entities here in Jacksonville that we're really being able to love on and nurture. And that's what it's about. But pressure washing, window cleaning, gutter cleaning, whatever it is, reach out to us. Our number is 904-708-8802. Follow us at NLS Cleaning. We're doing flash sales on our stories and stuff like that. But yeah, man, it's been awesome.
Flash sales.
Yeah, flash sales. So like we'll do them for like 15 minutes on a day, just be able to get a free flat work on your driveway and stuff like that. It's been awesome.
Man, that's very cool. Always good to see you.
Yeah.
Have an outstanding weekend.
Yeah. Thank you, man. You too.
There he goes. Niall Lawrence Stample. A once an all, always an all. Of course, won a national title with him 10 plus years ago. All right. We got much more to do right here on a Friday edition. You want to respond to anything you just heard Florida State-wise, you can. You want to respond to anything you heard me say in the first 30 minutes about the Jacksonville Jaguars, you can. 641-1010. That's the text line. It's brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, thank you once again to NLS, Niall Lawrence Stample, and NLS Cleaning. Good stuff. Local business. Big fans. What a weekend, too. It's been a while since I've been over to Tallahassee for a spring game. That used to be, like, automatic, right? It would always be the Florida State-Miami baseball weekend and then the game. But I don't know when that changed for me. I'm just trying to remember when exactly that did take place. Now it's become a little bit more like glorified scrimmages or – simulated games. I don't know. I got the golf on Saturday and I got the beach on Sunday, so I'm kind of content. I will admit the fact that it is on television tomorrow at 4, and you can lay the tape on it is pretty cool as well. But it's a huge weekend. How about Michigan? JJ, the brand new regime begins for the defending national champions with Jim Harbaugh making his way back to the National Football League, right? Sharon Moore takes over. Notre Dame with Riley Leonard. Notre Dame, obviously, is always going to be a team that is talked an awful lot about. Those two schools coming to the SEC. Texas could have two wide receivers go in the first round, if not in the second round, Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell. They have quarterbacks there. They just lost two really good wide receivers. USC, their spring game, biggest concern they have, well, you got to replace Caleb Williams. Also, what about your defense? Your defense really couldn't get it done against anyone a year ago. Some other teams that are having at it that may be of interest to you, Mississippi State, I don't know, Minnesota, Baylor, Illinois, Texas A&M, Virginia, and Wake. I want to say Florida State's got Wake this weekend. I wonder if that's at home or if that's – I think that's in Winston-Salem. Oregon State, where DJ Uiagalelei was. Let's see, any other notable? Stanford, Cal. What do you mean, Stanford? How dare I say it that way? They're now proud recipients of the Atlantic Coast Conference, so we have to do some scouting on Stanford and Cal. Duke, South Carolina, and Syracuse as well. So everyone wrapping up their season, if they haven't already, that will come to its completion this weekend. And then you're going to have about 7 or 8 more days until the transfer portal does end. That date will be on April 30th. And that, to me, nowadays, is just especially intriguing. The role of the head coach. And, you know, let's say you're a bottom feeder. Let's say you're 4th or 5th on the depth chart. But you love it there. Your coach going to walk right up to you and say, hey, man, I got to take away your scholarship. You have to go somewhere else. We're always talking about those who are leaving because they know they can get more playing time, or they're leaving because they know they're going to get more money, right? It's always been about the pillaging. It's always been about the wild, wild west. What about those who can't compete, that you're just being told, that's it, time's up, injuries or whatever, it didn't work for you, and we have to go in a different direction. I mean, this happens every day in the NFL. It happens every day, professionally speaking. Tyler Shatley back in Jacksonville, if you missed that earlier today. That was announced by the Jaguars as well. But you know, that's kind of new. There's always been situations where you've lost scholarships, but not the way that it's, you know, formally announced now within this very small window of 15 days. You would think that for the most part, if you know you can't go somewhere and play like a Greedy Vance can, that, and all of a sudden your name's on that list, you've been told either directly or indirectly to, you know, basically hit the bricks, that your time is up. All right. I want to get to some of these on the text line because they're really good. This is awesome, okay? The 5664 says, did anyone watch the Jags last year in their games and not see that the major problems were the lines of scrimmage? Why in the world would anyone consider drafting a receiver or corner in the first round? All right, to the 5664, hello. My name is Rick Ballew. You have obviously never listened to this show before, because that's all I ever scream about is fixing the offensive line. Forever. And ever and ever and ever. How long have you been the producer of this show, JJ? A
couple years.
Do I yell about anything to the significance that I do the offensive line?
No.
Okay. JJ's got my back. It's the first time JJ's ever agreed with me in 2 years. So, anyway, I am 100% with you. I said it during, we had draft analysts on every night this week. I said it every single night. If I had any say, it would be an offensive line. I've been saying that kid out of Oregon, the center, Jackson Powers, forever, that is what I have said. Now, I really do get the feeling that that's totally unrealistic. They're not going to do that. They are going to do a wide receiver or corner. And if I had to make a bet, it would be Mitchell out of Toledo, the corner, but it's still not where I would go. I would go offensive line, or I would go big wide receiver. Yada, 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 yada. Ballew, no way. He's absolutely the franchise quarterback. No question for me. Even if he's not that generational guy at worst, he's better than three-fourths of the league worth making him the franchise. And, okay, this again, and not to be redundant, because I mentioned this about an hour ago. I know, understand that we're always gaining new folks. I want to say yes. I want to say you're right. But there's not a gun pointed to their head right now. You don't have to make this move. why hurry through this move? And that part I don't get. And the being cheaper down the road, all right, that makes total sense. But what if you give this man the money and the same problems keep happening, right? If it doesn't work, you know, if it doesn't work and the Jaguars can't win ball games, it almost feels like, man, I tell you, I walked away yesterday, and it's hard for me to say this because I try to measure what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling based on covering this football team since day one. I said it on last night's show. I walked out of the Miller Electric Center yesterday believing that if the Jaguars went 3-14, it wouldn't matter. Trent Baalke would still be the general manager of the team. I honestly felt that way. I don't know if they were 3-14, if Doug Peterson would survive. And I want to be crystal clear about this. This is my opinion. Okay? Now, my opinion does come along with those that I talk with, text with, whatever, regularly. Okay? But it is a pretty tight-lipped building over there. Tighter now than it was. There was a little bit of a lull where it felt like things were being leaked purposely, if that makes any sense. And I know that Baalke was getting hit at times for maybe being involved in a story plant. And then, of course, you had the Dilla stuff, which was on and on. And we were wondering, you know, where's the leak? Where's it coming from? You know, that's what it's always about, finding the leak. That's why that whole Jason Lock and Forrest story, you know, years ago when he hung up on me, when I called him a liar. Okay, I mean, I didn't believe him. Okay, Tom Coughlin with a leak. Are you kidding me? I mean, Tom Coughlin, a leak? That is like one of the most humorous things in the history of the national football. Tom Coughlin, a leak? No, he made that up. Okay, there was never a leak. And every host on this station brought up the scenario that if it didn't get better, don't be surprised if Doug Marrone one day is out and Tom Coughlin comes from upstairs and takes over the team. I mean, third graders talked about that. And Lock and Ford tried to make it his own. But I walked out of there yesterday like, what's going on here? Why not go to Shad Khan now and say, hey, Shad, let's get this Trent Lawrence deal done now. Because you know why? We get the Trevor Lawrence deal done now. We're going to save millions and millions and millions and millions in 2028, 2029. But you don't make a move like that unless you know you're going to be here, right? I mean, shouldn't the moves be about trying to win this year? And there's a lot of me that believes he is really trying to win this year. He didn't try to win last year. He walked back the team. He couldn't afford to bring in free agents. He thought they were good enough based on what they did in 2022 to walk back that. You know, that's one of the major problems that I have with this offensive line. He walked it back. And I wouldn't have made those moves. But he did. So, anyway, I find it fascinating. This is going to be something that's going to continuously be talked about during the entire offseason. I love how the fans are now, though, more for this than they are against it. Because I'm not wishing ill here. Obviously, if you listen to me regularly, you know that. I want to see this work. I absolutely want to see it work with Trevor Lawrence. I just don't know what the hurry is. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get on in. That's the text lines brought to you tonight and every night by Lifetime Enclosure.
Lay it for the dog that got no master.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Play blue sky, play Dickie Betts.
Oh, Dickie.
Play out Pepper, Thelonious Monk, Charlie Parker, and all of that junk, all that junk and all of that jazz.
Dickie Betts, gone at the age of 80. Bob Dylan knew about it, though, on Murder Most Foul, which is a 17-minute essay by Bob Dylan. And it's recommended listening. After Into the Night, after Hacker Nation, who's off tonight. Take 17 minutes out of your life and listen. I like to tell you kids to listen, but by the time I started to say, hey, kids, you already stopped listening. To the elders out there, if you have not ever been aware of this, you need to listen to it. Starts off with the assassination of JFK. It really takes you through everything. Mm-hmm.
There's 12 million souls that are listening in.
All right. Dickie Betts, that one hurt a little bit. What a great life, though. 80 years of age. We just keep losing rock stars. Tom Hoagie, 11 under. 64 today. Seb Straka, 11 under. Colin Morikawa, 11 under. JT Poston, 11 under. If you're wondering about Scottie Scheffler, how does this sound today? How about a clean card, six birdies, zero bogeys. Shot a 65 today, six under the par 71 at Hilton Head, playing for a $20 million purse. And the leaderboard is absolutely spectacular. You know, I saw earlier today that they had projected cuts, but I didn't think there was a cut in this event. Now I'm looking at it, and in fact, there is not. Let's see, only 66, 7, 8, only 69 golfers play, and it appears it all will be around coming up for the weekend. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to join us. Getting a lot of good stuff coming in tonight on, you know, this football team and what they're going to do next week. 1681, Jackson wants to change its thinking. Remember Kansas City, they weren't any good. They got Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes, 31-15, 3 years before the change. Would Jackson have ever have, I don't know what type of word he's saying there, to make the change, contact with good doesn't get you there. Well, I don't know if I completely understand. Okay, for diehard Jaguar fans, this is the losingest franchise in the last 10 years of any team athletic sport, okay? That includes back-to-back 9-8 seasons. They are number one. It is an awful record, and it's one that Jacksonville is trying to do their best to get away from, but it's hard to run away from it. I mean, again, the last 10 years, the Jaguars have a winning percentage of .331. Think about that. They're winning one-third of their games. And this is with all the promise of the last 2 years. Jets, .337. Pistons, .362. Giants, .371. Browns, .377. I mean, it goes on and on and on. The Jags are the worst. So, 31-15. Okay, I mean, Kansas City... Yeah, they outside of the, you know, the Len Dawson 70s years, they had some good runs, but they were never able to really get there, whether it was Joe Montana or any other of the quarterbacks that they had until they got Patrick Mahomes, who became a generational quarterback. He's become the best player in the NFL. The starting point is so much better now. See, there used to be a time with this franchise, with this organization, that they were so bad that you could have gone through a litany of decisions and said, F, 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 F. I tell you what really hampers this football team right now, perhaps more than what gets talked about around here enough. That's the year before Trent Baalke started making picks. I tell you a major reason why this franchise is hemorrhaged the way that it has. Look at their 2020 draft. It is one of the worst drafts. It may be the worst draft in franchise history. The Jaguars had two firsts, a second, a third, and three fourth-round picks in 2020. Dave Caldwell's last draft. C.J. Henderson was the ninth pick in the draft. Colossal failure. Mammoth failure. 20th pick that year in the draft. Kalyvon Chaisson. A colossal failure. Second round pick, 42nd overall, Laviska Shenault. Remember all the wide receivers available in that draft class? Remember, oh, this is the most plentiful wide receiver draft class. Yet they got Laviska Shenault, who I really liked him. I did. I know he had rock-like hands and would run the wrong route, but still, colossal failure. Devon Hamilton. Well, congratulations. They found one who stuck. His current regime has re-signed him. But can we accurately say that Devon Hamilton has been a game-changing player in his career? I thought he was headed that way this year. As I've said many, many times, he was the best defensive lineman I saw over at the Miller Electric Center before that back problem came up. He had a really good August. And I go to every one of those practices. He was the 73rd pick. Fourth-round picks by the Jets. Look at this. Fourth-round picks. Pick number 137, Josiah Scott. Pick number 140, Shaq Quarterman. I forgot Ben Barch at pick 116. They're all gone. Okay, Daniel Thomas in the fifth round. Daniel Thomas was a fifth rounder, the 157th pick. He's a gunner. He's a four-core special teams guy who they brought back. He's a good team football player. Colin Johnson, Jake Luton, Tyler Davis, Chris Claybrooks. This isn't on bulky. And don't tell me they brought him in, whatever. They brought him in late. Kind of like bringing in Tom Gamble. We talked a little bit about yesterday after Michigan won the national title. He rejoins Trent Baalke here. I'm not a Baalke apologist, okay? But I also am fair. This isn't on Baalke. This is on Caldwell. You cannot have a draft class like this and expect to be successful. It's amazing they've gone 9-8 in the last 2 years. When you look at how they failed with this class, I mean, you had the ninth pick and the 20th pick. Can we just pull up the 2020 NFL draft real quick? I mean, I know every every city does this, and this is where we all become, you know, brilliant. Oh, they should have drafted this guy. They should have drafted that guy. Every city does it. Okay, in a way, it feels almost cheap. But, I mean, you got to be kidding me. Jacksonville selected ninth. Look at some of the players who went after Jacksonville at number nine. Okay, at least they didn't draft Henry Ruggs the third. I'll give him that. C.D. Lamb, just sticking right out at number 17. Need I say more? C.D. Lamb was a guy that you absolutely could have had. Jordan Love was there. Brandon Ayuk was there. Justin Jefferson was there. Jalen Reagor was there. The list just goes on and on and on. But again, every city can do that. That was only four drafts ago. Things have been better in 21, 22, and 23. Not perfect. Nothing close to being perfect. You know, the 2021 draft could end up being one of the best draft classes that this organization has ever had. Getting Trevor and Travis and Campbell and Cisco. They've screwed up Walker Little. It feels like Luke Farrell is still on the roster. A serviceable guy. But that's amazing to me. And again, I think, you know, to some aspects, that's been kind of have left there. And people actually forget about that. Rick and JJ, happy holidays tomorrow, Members Day. Yeah, all that stuff. When you have Stample on, yeah, I enjoy having Stample on as well to talk about the Florida State Seminoles. 59-51, Spicoli. I mean, Lawrence is not a top 10 quarterback. Doesn't deserve it. Top 10 money. Josh Allen was at the top of his crap before he got the bag. Trevor's got to earn it. Well, at least there's a guy there who's thinking the way that I'm thinking. And I understand that when you come out and you say it, that it touches a nerve because it may not sound like I want him to do it. That's never been the case. Just hadn't earned it. He just hasn't. Is he a top 10 quarterback right now? I don't know. You know, that game we do a few times a year, I don't know. You know? Start playing like it. 88-89, Blue, upgrading our team's backup depth is the key. We'll see the draft and this season. Well, yeah, I just took you through the draft 4 years ago. Look at last year's draft. It was terrible. It was terrible for the 2023 season. It doesn't mean it's going to be terrible for the 2024 season. As a matter of fact, I think my tone has changed on this. I think I'm more of really projecting that, hey, this could work out. Certainly the Harrison pick was fine. Brenton Strange, Tank Bigsby, hey, major wild cards. You know, yesterday Doug Peterson talked about Ventrell Miller. Yesterday talked about Cooper Hodges. Tyler Lacy with an unbelievable opportunity. So, yeah, it was a D to a D-minus rookie season in Jacksonville for all of these players combined. But that could absolutely turn around and be really impressive in year two. And that's what you need to happen. But with the same token, man, you've got to find guys this year at 17 and 48. They can't be Brenton Strange and Tank Bigsby and Ventrell Miller. Now, I know I'm getting in the second, third, and fourth round picks. My point is they got to be Anton Harrison's. You got to find a couple of guys who are either going to be a starter or, if not, certainly are involved in the rotation. And I'm hoping that's the case coming up beginning on Thursday. All right, we got much more to do. Take you up until 8 o'clock right here on this Friday along with JJ. I'm Rick Ballew.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, perhaps I did get a little carried away. Someone said Jalen Reagor. All right, I'll give you that. He did not exactly light it up this year for the New England Patriots. He's been all over. What? He's been three teams, 4 years. I think Philly, Buffalo, and New England. JJ LaSalva, we got some, what do you got over there on the other side for us, for our listeners?
Pair of tickets to see AEW Dynamite April 24th at Daly's Place.
Ooh, I got the perfect question. Okay. What you need is the answer. Justin Verlander. Going to grab the baseball tonight. He'll be on a pitch count. 257 career wins. Got a career whip of 1.12. 3,342 strikeouts. Got an earned run average of 324. Hall of Fame numbers. He has 257 career wins. What active pitcher is next as far as the most active wins in Major League Baseball? Now, I'll give you a hint. He's on the shelf, but he's still active. Okay? As a matter of fact, before yesterday, when Justin Verlander was called up, the top four winningest active pitchers in Major League Baseball are all on the shelf, which is not good. But if you can tell me who that is, actually tell JJ who that is, we'll get you two tickets out to see AEW. Again, Verlander on the bump tonight, 257 career wins. Who's second all time active? And again, he is injured at this particular time, but he's still officially listed as active. All right, 28-35. Just call JJ, 641-1010. The first one who comes up with those that particular answer to that question gets a couple of tickets to AEW coming up in just a couple of days. That'll be on April 24th. I love this. 28-35. Blue, have we drafted anybody yet? Like a third-string tight end, a 25-play running back, or some injured player that will never start his first season? Huh? That sounds like an angry Jaguar fan. That's what this football team did a year ago. I think we've all addressed it. I think we've all come out and said that, you know, this organization made mistakes. They absolutely did. They could have found many different directions to go where they could have really helped out this football team in other positions. They elected not to. I still am dumbfounded that they did nothing to address defensive end last year. Nothing. And again, Yasir Abdullah is undersized. DeJuan Smoot was coming back after the Achilles tear. It just didn't work out. But that's gone. That season's gone. I still think it's a chance that some of these guys play good football this year. I really feel like I'm on the Tank Bigsby bandwagon again. I am. Brenton Strange, we'll see. I said it last night. I love Ventrell Miller. Loved watching him play college football. And Tyler Lacy's got a great opportunity. So, you know, be interested to see what does happen when it's all said and done. Yada yada at Wake tomorrow. Okay, I think I asked earlier if Florida State was at Wake. They, in fact, are at Wake tomorrow. Here's another one, buying in on Trevor. Boo, how about the St. Augustine dude that set himself on fire outside of the Trump trial in New York? Wasn't aware of that. Have you heard about that one, JJ?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that today?
Yeah.
Okay, because I usually do, just to be honest, I usually do most of my news reading after the show, later at night. I'm so fully entrenched and learning numbers on Jalen Reagor to get ready for the show and things along those lines, but I was not aware of that. Did they extinguish it? Is he okay? Was he seriously hurt?
I bet he's not okay. I don't know.
Hmm.
I can promise you he's not okay.
Well, he's alive, but he's got significant burns, I would guess. No, to answer your question, no, I was not aware of that. 61-30. Rick Caleb wins a pull up Manning draft day. If that scenario took place, there's no way Caleb wins an interchange coming to Jackson. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Jacks fan, but I don't see that he would want to be part of the chaos here. Man, there's no chaos here. There was when Urban was here. What's so chaotic about things here now? I mean, honestly. He's not involved with the London. He's not involved with the stadium and trying to get a new one or a major facelift. He's not involved in building downtown. What's chaotic about this franchise? This franchise is in far better shape now than it was 2 years ago. I just went through all the losing seasons that they've had, right? I mean, they underachieved. They went 8-3 and then lost 5 of 6. They ran out of gas, and they did not get it done. But chaotic? Chaotic to me is when you have a lot of, you know, major issues that are going on. Now, listen, there have been some things which I have absolutely identified and probably even took it to the extreme. You know, making mountains out of molehills. I mean, that whole, we got to get out of here after week 3. I made a huge deal out of that. You know, you made too much noise. We're on defense. Trevor will practice today. He didn't. I mean, there was a lot of miscommunication. There was, but I don't know if I would consider that chaotic. And even if it was, that's 3 examples. The most chaotic of that, I think the whole Trevor not practicing was just either one of 2 things: total miscommunication, or Trevor had a setback in that time period before practice. Doug Peterson's not going to go out there and say it, then not have it. I mean, who would do that? We have a winner yet?
We do. Congratulations, Bronson.
Bronson! Have you ever watched any of the Death Wishes before?
Yeah, of course.
With Charles Bronson.
Yeah, one of the least intimidating...
Vigilantes?
Yeah, that I've ever seen. But I enjoyed it.
Who are the greatest vigilantes of all time? Bronson, Clint. I can't do like the Jason Statham.
What about like Batman?
Okay, who's the Irish lad who's the same one in every movie? You know, he always gets wronged and someone gets stolen, like a daughter or a granddaughter.
Oh, you're talking about Taken. Oh,
right.
My God.
I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you. The Irish
Viggo,
lad.
Or Liam Neeson.
There you go.
Yeah, he's up there. He's been typecast now. He is that guy.
Chuck Norris. Give me a good vigilante. You know, when I think of, this could be vigilantes in the other way. They were more of hitmen. I think of, like, Richard Kuklinski. Have you ever seen the movie on him, The Iceman?
No.
Oh, God. Michael Shannon plays him. Michael Shannon's one of my favorite actors.
Oh, John Wick.
John Wick, okay. John Wick. Vigilante. Bronson's like the original. Because when I think back on it, I mean, Clint was basically a cop. He was Dirty Harry. I mean, you can go to the old Westerns. But Clint was a cop. Where Bronson wasn't. Bronson was like an architect. Or Bronson was like a plumber or a lawyer. And he just kept the streets clean. Right? He was like the local Robin Hood. But the old Death Wishes were great. So anyway, the answer is Max Scherzer, who's out until at least late June. He had a herniated disc. He had surgery on it, so he's going to be on the shelf till the middle of the summer. Then it's Clayton Kershaw with 210 wins. He's on the shelf with the forearm. And then you go all the way to Gerrit Cole. You go from 210 career wins to 145 career wins for Gerrit Cole, who's 33. He's on the 60-day IL. But anyway, your current active winners, Justin Verlander, 257, Max Scherzer, 214, Clayton Kershaw, 210, Gerrit Cole, 145. Final thoughts coming up on the other side. We'll take you up until 8 o'clock right here on this Friday.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
That's a big weekend, no doubt about it. NBA, NHL playoffs getting set to get underway. You dive into the early rounds in either one of the league and or association?
I'll definitely watch some NBA. I don't know about they have like a 1 o'clock and a 4 o'clock game. I'll probably skip those. But the Lakers, Saturday night, I'll be watching.
Yeah, I told you this. My divorce with Boston's kind of been back and forth. There's been a lot of offers made to me as of late. Some too good to turn away from. So I imagine I'll be watching two of the original six tomorrow night at 8, Boston and Toronto. That's going to do it. Folks, have an outstanding weekend. Next week is the draft. We'll have it for you all week long. For JJ, I'm Rick Ballew. We'll talk with you then.